We'll get an update on the state budget and find out about other state government issues making news in this edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Coming up after 7:30, we will be joined by two state senators. Both sit on the Joint Finance Committee. We'll talk with Luther Olson and Lena Taylor about the education budget passed by the Joint Finance Committee last week and the rest of the budget that Joint Finance will be taking up tomorrow. First, our State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson joins us with a recap of a very busy week at the State Capitol last week and a busy week this week with a preview. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So before we get to budget issues, a couple of big resignations last week, including David Clark resigned as the Milwaukee County Sheriff. What's he going to do?
We don't know yet. He said in a tweet after the resignation that he'd announce his future plans, quote, after the Labor Day holiday. So maybe we'll find out soon. We had thought earlier this year that David Clark was going to be stepping down to take a job in the Trump administration. That job never materialized, and so his resignation did not either. In this case, the resignation has come first, and we don't know what's coming next.
Yeah, so there's still, we don't know for sure, but speculation. Some speculation says maybe there is a Homeland or a Trump administration job. Others are saying that maybe he's joining a pro-Trump organization. And still others are wondering if he's setting himself up for a run for U.S. Senate.
He said no on the Senate run pretty firmly. Again, you know, he also said he was going to be in the Trump administration earlier and that didn't happen. But he did say no, that he didn't want to run for a Senate. And he was actually attacking this PAC that was urging him to run for Senate. Uh-huh. So you know, I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen, but we'll find out soon, presumably.
And Governor Walker appoints a new sheriff to fill his term then?
He does. And he's not exactly, you know, tipping his hand at all on that one. You know, the governor got his political start in as Milwaukee County executive, so he's familiar with the politics there, and we'll see what he does.
Another resignation is that the DNR secretary, Kathy Stepp, stepped down.
Yes, Kathy Stepp, one of Governor Walker's original cabinet appointees, and I think you'd have to say one of the most controversial picks at the time, and that kind of played out throughout the Walker administration. Kathy Stepp is someone who made a name for herself in the Wisconsin State Senate as an outspoken critic of the Department of Natural Resources, and she came in to lead the agency and wanted a more business-friendly approach. And really, you know, you look at the some of the controversial issues that the Walker administration has pushed over the years, and her oversight at DNR, I think you'd say that on most of them, they got that business-friendly approach under Kathy Stepp. She is leaving the DNR for a job as a deputy administrator in the federal EPA now, so still staying within that realm.
And who is going to lead the DNR now?
I should have had that in my notes, shouldn't I? Such
the deputy DNR secretary.
Yeah, somebody who's working there, who has worked there now. I can get you that in a little bit.
Yeah, Kurt Thede.
There you go. Good job.
Yeah. I kind of remember that. I did a show last week with former DNR secretary George Meyer.
Yeah.
And he was.
No, you got it.
He had a lot to say. Anyway, let's move on to the Joint Finance Committee. I know is meeting tomorrow with a whole bunch of stuff in front of it. But what the Joint Finance passed the K-12 education budget last week. What does it contain?
Yeah, kind of the broad strokes, it increases school funding by $639 million over the next 2 years. That's slightly less than the $648 million that Governor Walker proposed, but still, you know, by far the largest increase that the state has seen since Governor Walker was sworn into office. It amounts to about $200 per year per pupil increase. So every student, a $200 increase per pupil in each year, this next 2 years of the biennium. It went down slightly by cutting Walker's sparsity aid for rural districts and some performance-based funding for Milwaukee schools. I think, though, the biggest change, though, from kind of a structural standpoint is that it increased the amount that the lowest spending schools will be able to raise from local property taxes. So those districts that are, you know, collecting the least or the property taxes now per student, they'll be able to increase that slightly. The floor will increase by a couple hundred bucks for those schools.
All right, and I know there's more, but why did Democrats not like this increase in per pupil spending? And what is the total $639 million increase? So Democrats on Joint Finance voted against this?
They did, and I mean, they offered their own proposal. As always, something like this is about kind of how you position yourself for voters. And so they introduced a proposal that they said that if you map it out, it's going to look better for more districts throughout the state. And so that's the position where they're at. They also say that this is too little too late from the governor, given his cuts to education earlier in his administration. And the way that school funding hasn't kept pace with historic trends in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Any other key issues with the education funding package that passed last week that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, I mean, they increased eligibility for the statewide school choice program. So a family could earn more money and qualify for the private school voucher program. So right now, if you're a family of four, you can earn up to $45,000 and qualify for the school choice program. This would let you earn up to $54,000 for a family of four in the statewide program.
And Joint Finance eliminated the Act 10 requirement that was in Governor Walker's budget that would require schools to, if they wanted the increase in funding to enforce the Act 10 regulations on how much teachers pay for health insurance.
Yeah, I mean, schools would have had to specifically force teachers to pay 12% of their health care costs. Schools said, you know, that's not what Act 10 says. The Act 10 says that, that requirement is not within the Act 10 law, basically, that we can meet Act 10 in other ways through a mixture of salary and benefits reductions or increases. And so that's where they landed, is they took that provision out. They are going to monitor it starting in the next budget to see what schools are forcing teachers to contribute.
And what is this lifetime license for teachers that was created?
Yeah, if teachers have 3 years of experience, it would open up the possibility of a lifetime teacher's license for them. And also some more opportunities for teachers that don't have an education degree, but do have kind of real world experience. They would be able to more easily get teaching licenses under something that passed the budget committee last week.
Well, we did invite State Senator Luther Olson, who chairs the Committee on Education, who's also on Joint Finance Committee, to join us after 7:30. And also State Senator Lena Taylor, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, will also join us in the last segment of the State Capitol Report. We'll talk education funding and other budget issues because, what, the whole shebang is in front of the Joint Finance Committee tomorrow?
It could be, yeah. So they've scheduled everything, basically. Everything that's been holding them up for 2 months now, because we are 2 months overdue for a new state budget, you know, as far as when the new fiscal year started. And so all these biggies that have been holding them up for months, transportation, taxes, and now we're thrown into the mix Foxconn, which had a public hearing before the budget committee but has yet to be voted on in the budget committee. That's all up before committee, in theory, tomorrow. So it's scheduled. They could always delay this stuff another day and another day if they're not quite ready. So, for example, transportation,
they're not quite ready, are they?
Well, you know, we'll know when they vote, right? When they pass out that big motion on transportation that says, here's what we're doing. But just, you know, if you're going to read the tea leaves on what they're going to do, State Senator Alberta Darling, who co-chairs the Joint Finance Committee, was saying last week to some reporters that it's going to be tough to get transportation done by Tuesday. Might take another day or so for that.
Because, and again, we might not be able to get to all of it before news, but we learned last week that Wisconsin's not going to get as much money from the federal government as it thought we were going to get. So that complicates matters, doesn't it?
Sort of. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is federal redistribution aid that came out from the federal DOT. And this is normally something that gets, you know, passed out to states. It's unused federal transportation money. Basically, it goes into a pool and then it gets distributed to states. Wisconsin asked for a lot of it this year, and normally we wouldn't pay much attention to this. But the governor, when he was putting out one of his recent transportation compromises, said, we're going to apply for $341 million in federal redistribution aid. The state got $66 million. So essentially what it means is that that's more than it usually gets, but it's not that, you know, silver bullet, you name the cliche you want to use there. It's not that rescue from the federal government to get them out of this transportation kind of mess, or the lack of a deal is not going to be made much easier by the federal government.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with Sean Johnson, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capital Bureau Chief, about state budget issues that are before the Joint Finance Committee tomorrow at the state capitol. Talk a little bit more about the transportation budget, maybe a little bit about taxes, and we welcome your questions and thoughts. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back after the news. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, talking now with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. And we are talking about the state budget process, which could conclude this week, but the Joint Finance Committee is scheduled to take up the state budget tomorrow. And just before news, Sean, we were talking about the transportation budget and whether that impasse has been broken. What's changed from the last time we talked about the state transportation budget and today?
I'm not sure exactly what's changed, other than it's getting later, you know, so there is more pressure on them to wrap up this budget. And these disputes, which, you know, may leave a lot of unhappy people in the legislature because they don't all get what they want, or at some point they're just going to have to be resolved. I mean, if you have the Assembly Speaker out there who recently said, you know, I've come to accept the reality that we're not going to have any new revenue, any new taxes or fees in this budget, and he was kind of the leading voice for that possibility, then it becomes a question of, okay, what do you do with the money that you have, and how much are you going to borrow, and what projects go forward? So it's not that big question of how do we fund transportation for the next 20, 30 years, maybe that isn't happening this week. You know, we'll find out when they come out with their plan. But as far as we know, there's no new gas tax or overall vehicle registration fee in the budget that they're negotiating.
But there is a proposal to increase the registration fee for hybrid vehicles.
Hybrids and electric cars, yes. So that is one area where it sounds like potentially Republicans who run the state legislature and then Governor Walker are okay with new revenue would be this new $100 per year fee on electric cars and hybrids, which would generate just shy of $8 million per year. So compare that. I mean, $8 million a year, it's a lot less than what they were talking about doing a few months ago with this fee on heavy trucks, which went nowhere. That would have been about $138 million per year. A lot more, and heavy trucks, while they are taxed more than the average vehicle, they do a lot more damage to Wisconsin roads than a hybrid or electric car. The argument from a policy perspective for doing the tax or, the fee increase on hybrids and electrics is that since they don't spend as much in the gas tax, this kind of makes it up elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
And finally, when it comes to taxes, does it look like the state budget is going to include an income tax cut?
Everything that we've heard is that the income tax cut that the governor proposed, about $200 million, is not going to be in the final package. Maybe it would be in some form, but the last we heard from the governor and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is that they were okay with taking that money that was set aside for the income tax cut and using some of it maybe to pay for transportation. So you'd use general fund money, which would normally go to, you know, in this case, a tax cut, but in other cases, school funding, healthcare funding, prisons, stuff like that, and use that general fund money to pay for transportation or roads. It sounded like they were okay with that, but it's been a while since we've heard an update from them. And so we'll see if that's in the final package. Something else that the governor proposed, a sales tax holiday for school supplies. again, nothing's final, but it sounded like that never really got traction. You heard a lot of Republicans saying, we're not going to do that. You presume they're not going to do that. We should know this week.
Boy, we had to kind of rush along here, mm-hmm. but how does Foxconn play into the state budget? Is there going to be stuff in the state budget regarding Foxconn?
So also up on the agenda, in theory, tomorrow is a vote on the Foxconn bill, the $3 billion state incentive package for Foxconn, which makes a number of, you know, environmental permitting exemptions for the company. It changes local tax laws for the company. It's a big bill, and that is also on the agenda. And by the way, that Foxconn bill includes about $250 million worth of borrowing for I-94 south of Milwaukee. So the transportation budget kind of snuck over there into the Foxconn bill. That's a highway that would run near the plant, we presume, in southeast Wisconsin. And so it is one of those... You know, you would say Foxconn doesn't necessarily belong with the transportation budget, but the transportation budget has kind of found its way into Foxconn.
Yeah, just 1 minute to go. Foxconn turning into a political issue in that gubernatorial candidate Tony Evers is featuring criticism of that deal in his first ad.
He did, yeah. So pretty much all the Democrats who have declared now for governor have criticized the Foxconn deal, but Tony Evers kind of taking it up a step and saying... he's willing to take his own campaign money and run an ad criticizing the deal, ups the ante, and potentially creates kind of a litmus test for Democrats in that primary.
Yeah. All right. In last 30 seconds, what else is going on this week? Anything?
There's a public hearing this week on a bill to lift Wisconsin's sulfide mining moratorium, and that'd be for metals like copper and nickel. It's Thursday at Lady Smith High School Auditorium. That'll be a contentious issue. If you remember the last time we discussed mining in Wisconsin, tempers can flare, and that's likely to be the case with this one as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Sean.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, State Capitol Bureau Chief. Our state capitol report continues now as we welcome in State Senator Luther Olson, who chairs the Committee on Education and is vice chair of the Joint Finance Committee. He is a Republican state senator from Ripon. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org if you have a question or comment for Senator Olson. Senator Olson, good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to you, too. So let's talk first about the education budget that the Joint Finance Committee passed last week. You approved a $639 million increase for K through 12 schools. Are you happy with this?
Yes, I am. I think there's money for a number of different issues in there. We gave schools $204 this second year. The first year of the budget is $200. The second year is $204. We put money in for low spending districts to help narrow the gap on that. We put money in for high cost special needs, for mental health, just a number of areas that needed some more funding to help meet the challenges that schools have that are growing and growing every year.
Yeah, some opponents or critics or Democrats say that this budget increase isn't all that meaningful when you consider funding cuts in past years. Talk some about that. Are we barely making up for lost ground?
Well, the thing is, we look at what we did last year and where we are this year, and I don't look back and say, oh my goodness, you know, we could have done more. We could have done more. I mean, everybody always wants more money, but I think 200 and 204 was what the governor put in. That's what Superintendent Evers wanted when he sent his budget to the governor. So I think that's the right number. And honestly, people can always complain, and they always do.
Well, the budget also increases the amount of money that a family can make and still participate in the school voucher program. Before this, a family could only make $45,000 a year. The new cap is $54,000 a year. Why increase that cap?
Well, there are folks that feel that in Milwaukee and Racine, it's 300% of poverty at the state level, the program initially started out at 185% of poverty, and there was a push to go to 300 statewide, but that is a lot of money, and I'm not sure that we can afford two school systems in the state, paying for the public one and the private one. And so the budgets are compromises, and the percent was set at 220% of poverty.
Yeah, Sean Johnson was just on, and he did talk about some other aspects of the education budget, including this lifetime license for teachers with 3 years of experience. We had a caller who wanted that clarified. Can you shed a little more light on what this is all about?
Well, right now, teachers have to renew their license every 5 years. And this would say if you are a teacher and have six semesters, in other words, 3 years of successful teaching, you don't have to do it every 5 years. Really, it's up to, you can have your license, and license really doesn't determine quality. A school district will determine if you're going to have a job or not, and just because you have a license doesn't mean you have a job. And so we felt that rather than having them renew their license every 5 years, you got your license. School districts, a lot of them require professional development work and things like this, and we would let the local folks decide if the teacher should have a job or not, not the state.
This also increased the amount the lowest spending schools would be able to raise from local property taxes. What's the significance of that?
Well, we have not increased the low spending ceiling for a number of years, and that's the amount of money that you can automatically spend. It was $9,100 per student. And we said you can increase that now without going to referendum. The board can just say, we'd like to spend that. They raise that amount, and the state will then share in state aid on that. So it's not all totally property tax. First year it is, after that it isn't. Because it's important that we narrow that gap and bring the bottom up. So making sure that no matter where you go to school in Wisconsin, there's enough money so that you can have an adequate education. And I was glad the assembly started talking about that. We worked on that for a number of years and came to a deal where it increased $100 this year and the next year, and then it'll increase $100 per student up till it gets to $9,800.
Our guest is State Senator Luther Olson, who chairs the Committee on Education and is vice chair of the Joint Finance Committee. He will be with us only for another 5 minutes or so. So if you have a question for him about education funding or other state budget issues, we welcome those at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Coming up after the news, we will be welcoming in State Senator Lena Taylor, who is also a member of the Joint Finance Committee. I wanted to talk about the other issues before us. The Joint Finance Committee, Senator Olson, is the whole shebang is in front of you tomorrow, apparently. What's going to happen on the transportation budget? Is there an agreement that has been reached?
Well, there will be when we get it to the Joint Finance Committee. I'm not positive if it's final I's are dotted and the T's are crossed yet, but I think they're pretty close to figuring out what the transportation budget will look like in the next 2 years. Transportation cost and highway construction and repair continue to go up. We need good sources of revenue, and I think the governor said no gas tax increase. They're looking at electric cars at $100 and hybrids at $75 per year for license fees. But I think at the end of the day, we will have a transportation budget that gets us through the next 2 years.
All right. So it pretty much looks like that increase on hybrids is going to be a part of this package.
Well, from what I believe it will be, yes. I'm not, nothing is sure until the last vote is taken, but I would optimistic that probably will be.
Yeah. And how about when it comes to taxes? Will there anything different than Governor Walker's proposed budget when it comes to taxes?
No. He said that he would veto any budget that had a gas tax increase, and I don't think there's any in the Senate for sure appetite to override that, so I think that is going to stand this budget.
Yeah. What about there is going to be a sales tax holiday for school supplies?
Well, I'm not sure if there's going to be one of those. Where did you hear that? Because I haven't heard that.
All right. Well, that was, I thought, a part. Maybe I didn't know if it was.
Well,
that
was proposed. I'm not sure that's happening. I don't think it's in the final plan, but I haven't seen the final revenue plan. But mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's there.
Let's go to Mary in Lancaster. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question, I've been listening, and it was mentioned that an adequate education for the students of Wisconsin, whatever happened to an excellent education? I mean, aren't the students, the children of the state of Wisconsin, worthy of an excellent education for mm-hmm. everybody?
Do you think that we are funding education enough to provide for an excellent education, Senator Olson?
Well, I really do. When they talk about education funding, there's equity and adequacy. And equity means that there's a difference, you know, a narrow difference so that everybody gets an equitable amount. And then the other word they use is adequate, making sure that there's adequate. Now, the question is, I mean, some school districts spend 20-some thousand dollars, probably not because they spend have a lot of programs. It's because a lot of them are relatively small. But we have to make sure that every school has the adequate amount of money to provide an excellent education.
So the budget is at least moving forward, we hope, this week, and some are hailing that progress. But it is 2 months past deadline. Is this posing any problems for local schools or local governments, for that matter?
I don't think so, because we don't give schools all their money up front. They're, you know, saying, well, are we really sure we're going to get the 200 and the 204 and we're going to get this, you know, other money? But the money that we're giving schools in is categorical aid, so that's all from the state. There's no property tax money on that, so they don't have to go to the taxpayers and property taxpayers and ask for it. So that system kicks in, you know, shortly to figure out how much their tax levy should be, but I believe that getting this done in September will be sufficient for them to do their budgets.
Yeah, and in our final minute, Senator Olson, are you happy with the Foxconn deal, the $3 billion incentives package to have Foxconn build that facility in southeastern Wisconsin?
Well, if everything turns out the way that the folks are talking and hoping, then I'm happy. We're going to have some amendments, I think, tomorrow to tighten up some of the language on the incentives for hiring folks. I think I talked to Secretary Hogan the other day, and I think that he's proposing some things to help us and help him negotiate. But if this does what it's supposed to, it will have a big effect on southeastern Wisconsin and the rest of the state.
Thank you very much. State Senator Luther Olson. Our state capitol report continues now, welcoming in another state senator who sits on the Joint Finance Committee. The Joint Finance Committee is scheduled to take up the state budget tomorrow and Foxconn tomorrow. Not sure they're going to complete it, but we are going to talk with our next guest, State Senator Lena Taylor, a member of the 4th Senate District. She is the ranking Senate Democrat on the Wisconsin Legislature's Joint Finance Committee. We welcome your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. She represents the 4th Senate District. She's not a member of that. Senator Taylor, good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Listeners.
Yeah, and happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to you, too.
I wanted to first, before we get into budget issues, I wanted to get your reaction to the news that last week that Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, he stepped down on Thursday, I think it was, or at midnight on Friday. What's your reaction?
You know, Joy, it is, I believe, a good thing when you consider the amount of abuse that has happened on the watch of Sheriff Clark when he was not true to his oath to the people and making sure that he was taking care of things in those regards. We had everything from pregnant women being shackled and lawsuits from individuals dying from dehydration. It was shameful. Yeah. And so I'm hope that the governor will appoint someone that will help us with partnering to rebuild community trust with law enforcement in our community and can partner with Milwaukee to be able to help move us in a different direction.
Yeah, we will. I also wanted to ask you about Foxconn. We just heard from State Senator Luther Olson, who thought that the Foxconn incentives deal, as long as the language is tweaked a little bit to help ensure Wisconsin residents getting hired in Foxconn, that it was a good deal, not only for southeastern Wisconsin, but for the entire state of Wisconsin. What do you think about the Foxconn package?
First of all, I hope that people realize that it really is something equivalent to a deal that was written on a napkin almost, a piece of paper. Just a very few words from the governor and the head of Foxconn saying up to 13,000 jobs, we'll give you $3 billion. I mean, it's just not the kind of deal that you would think because individuals born today or born, you know, in the next year or so will literally work until they're, you know, easily 30 and potentially into their 40s. Depending on the number of jobs that Foxconn gives, that's a lot. That's a lot that they'll be paying for this Foxconn deal to that extent. And we don't even know the effects on our environment and if they create any challenges to our environment. There's nothing in the deal that says that they pay for it. I mean, this is too much to move so rapidly, especially when we depend on our environment for everything from our activities of outdoors, but also for our economic sustainability in Wisconsin. So I'm concerned about a deal that was written on a piece of paper, you know, that doesn't say much, that doesn't, not only the senator said, you know, guaranteeing that Wisconsinites will get the jobs. He was at the hearing. He heard them say we can't make sure that Wisconsinites get the jobs. He heard the person from Gateway say we're not even in a position to handle a pipeline of training. We need $5 million more dollars in Gateway alone. That doesn't even include our technical colleges or UW systems. So we don't have people skilled. We don't have the pipeline ready. We can't guarantee people will get the jobs. Illinois has already thanked us because their people will get the jobs. And then we're not protecting our environment, and there's no diversity no guarantee of diversity even in contracting so that we can make sure that people can, you know, lift themselves up by their bootstraps. Well, you got to allow people to have businesses to be able to do that and to be able to get a fair share of the pie. So there are many pieces missing to the Foxconn deal, and people should be concerned.
We are talking with State Senator Lena Taylor. She is the ranking Senate Democrat on the Joint Finance Committee, talking with her about Foxconn, talking with her about the resignation of Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. And we are going to talk with her now about the state budget. The Joint Finance Committee is going to take up the state budget starting tomorrow. The education portion of the state budget was approved last week, a $639 million increase in K-12 spending in this budget as compared to last. So what do we think of that? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Senator Taylor, is the $639 million increase in K-12 spending approved last week in the Joint Finance Committee a good thing for public schools across the state?
So the first thing I want to do is correct that, Joy. First of all, it's not an increase. You know, if I take $800 from you and I give you back $600
mm-hmm.
7 years later, and I don't give you any inflation, any increase, any interest, I didn't make you whole. So because I took from you for 7 years, and historically the largest cuts in the history of the state were done on education under Governor Walker in this administration, when I go to give you some money 7 years later, it's very difficult to be able to fill the hole that I've made all that time if I'm Governor Walker. And so I want to say it's not an increase. And you know, and they said, well, it's an increase from the last budget. The last budget and the one before that and the before that, you know, mm-hmm. are the budgets that did historic cuts. It's why our school districts, Joy, had to do more referendums. And what the governor and the GOP have done is they shifted the responsibility to local communities. And they've done it in a way where people, you know, I don't even know if people fully realize that they've been bamboozled. And what I mean by that is the state has taken away the amount of investment that it should make. And they've taken it away for years after years. And so more referendums were done. More local communities agreed to fund things for their schools, including things for operating costs, because of the state shortage. So now the Republicans have decided to give $9 million less than Governor Walker did in his budget. And I would argue the timing seems very interesting, that during his hardest, you know, potential reelection, he now is trying to do a historic, you know, alleged increase, as they call it, you know, to education. But it's after digging education in a hole for his entire term that he's been in office. So is it good that school districts will be getting more than them cutting and making them deal with less, as they've been doing for his entire administration's term? Yes. Is it sufficient to fill the void and the hole that they've been put in? No. And is it okay if we don't have enough to deal with the crisis issues that we presently have? You know, some of the worst numbers for African-American and children of color in the nation, and growing poverty across the state, and rural districts dealing with transportation and other challenges. Is this a time for us to say, oh, by the way, can we find some more schools outside of the school districts that we already have under the public umbrella that the state pays for? Now we want to also pay for counselors in private schools and in charter schools. That's a challenge. So I am concerned that we not only are not making our school districts whole, they're giving $9 million less than what Walker would want to do. And then in addition to that, they're expanding our territory and responsibilities that we will have to more schools that we presently do not have the responsibility for. And that is concerning for me. It's like, Joy, you deciding your children are not fed at your home, but you're going to bring in, you know, my house and some other houses, and you're going to now take the little bit you had and try to spread it across all of us too, even though we're making enough money. And God forbid that we have the conversation about those that are now going to be eligible to participate in the programs to go to private schools and get a voucher. You can make literally, you know, I don't remember the exact figure now because I want to tell you, I want to say $50,000 to $70,000, something like that, that you can make and be eligible to get a voucher for your kid to go to school. That's a challenge. And in some communities, if there are 20 kids that are now getting the voucher, 17 of them were going to the school before, you know, they ever got a voucher, which means their parents were already paying for them to go to a private school, and now we're going to pay for them to go, even though their parents are not economically challenged, which is what this was originally created for.
Senator Taylor, we just have a minute more for you. To any other area of the state budget, maybe the transportation budget in particular, that you're particularly concerned about as Joint Finance takes up the budget tomorrow?
You know, the transportation budget is horrible. It's leaving our commerce and people, again, putting more in their pockets because they have to do more diversions, go around different ways. But the other piece that is concerning for me is the governor and bonding, and how what he has done is refinanced so that debt goes out further. We're paying more. Just a number of pieces of irresponsibility within the governor's budget, and I'm very concerned about shared revenue because they are doing less, and we're giving people amount of municipalities and villages and so on and so forth, counties. We're giving them shared revenue amounts from decades ago, and that's very challenging.
We're going to leave it there for now because we are out of time. Thank you very much for being with us. State Senator Lena Taylor is the ranking Senate Democrat on the Wisconsin Legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Joint Finance takes up the state budget tomorrow, and it takes up Foxconn, the incentives package, tomorrow. Earlier, we heard from State Senator Luther Olson, also on the Joint Finance Committee. Thanks to Bill Martins. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.